muddy. And I thought to myself, how many people still would wade treacherous conditions and unclear water to go fishing?
You're right.
But they'll not come out to the house of the Lord when they truly need to. You know, I think I'm in front of a congregation, a group of people that can appreciate this. We just sang at little church, that's hymn number 410, and we had an older brother at Wilson Creek Church that never could remember it quite right. He'd get a little confused, but when he was there in attendance, he'd always shout out to the song leader, "Y'all sing that shotgun song at 410. That's what I want to hear." So Lord called that brother home here recently, and he will be dearly missed. I don't want to take up much of your time this morning. I know I've got two able ministers coming, Lord willing, next. But I want to draw your attention to something that you find in the book of Luke. It's the 22nd chapter. And it's two statements that our Lord Jesus Christ makes to the Apostle Peter and those 11 apostles that are there. Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I'm going to tell you, that's probably one of the more terrifying verses in the New Testament, followed by one of the more comforting verses. Because to begin with, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that despite what the world may tell you, and despite what the denominational world may tell you, Satan is not a metaphorical presence. He's real. And he will do everything in his power to hurt you. Satan does not want to see you in the Lord's church. He does not want to see you worshiping God. He does not want to see you happy in your marriage, happy in your family. He doesn't want to see any of those things. He truly hates you because you are an elect child of God. You know, the reason he's desired to have you, just as Jesus told the Apostle Peter, the reason he's desired to have you, because he can't have you. Jesus Christ has already secured your eternal salvation. And it's kind of like human nature to always have something that you really can't have, to want something which you can't get, if that makes sense. My family was, probably a year and a half ago. We loaded up one Saturday morning. We went to eat breakfast at a particular location I think that everybody's familiar with out in the South. And we were getting ready to have our meal. We had placed our order, and we were sitting there, and this place was jam-packed. There was people everywhere. And there was a little elderly couple that was sitting right behind us, and there were younger couples that were right in front of us. And then all of a sudden, we heard this blood-curdling scream. And you knew right away, as a parent, you knew it was a little one. And the little one was screaming. And your first thought as a parent is, what's wrong? Is it one of mine? Is the little one okay? What's happening? Well, as a parent, your ears get kind of tuned in to when your little one is really hurt or in danger versus when they're just mad. And this little girl was mad as a hornet. And we turned around and she's screaming and she's not letting up. And I, you know, with some level of sympathy, I thought to myself, I'm going to turn over. I'm going to look. I'm going to see a younger couple there with their first child. You know, Lord be with them. And I turned over and it was Grandma and Grandpa with little granddaughter. And granddaughter was sitting with Grandpa and she was letting him have it with both barrels. I mean, she was just screaming, mad as she could possibly be. And you would think you'd look at the grandmother and find some level of sympathy coming from her. You know, maybe she's going to get up and take the little grandchild away and comfort her. But Grandma had the face of disgust written all over her. I said, man, this is not good. Not a good situation here. So finally, Grandpa had as much as he could possibly take. So he picked the little one up. And he goes to take her outside to comfort her and try to calm her down. And the older folks that were right behind me said, "Grandpa, what in the world did you do to that little girl to make her so mad?" And I kid you not, his response was, "All I did was tell her no." By nature, man doesn't like to be told no.
Amen.
When you are born into this world, you are born with a sinful nature that you inherited from Adam.
Amen.
And until you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have a sinful nature that doesn't know what it means to do right. Doesn't know what it means to be told no. Because the very essence of your nature is to do that which is contrary to the righteousness of God. But when you're born again of the Spirit of God, when that work of regeneration takes place in your life, there's something new that wasn't there before.
Amen.
Just as you were born once physically, you're born spiritually. When that work of regeneration takes place, even though you'll be dead spiritually, even though you're dead in your trespasses and sin, the life-giving call from the voice of God gives you life spiritually. You have something that you didn't have before. And then all of a sudden, you start to realize, there's things I shouldn't do. There's things I shouldn't say. There's places I shouldn't be. But you know what? The old man, that old nature that's still tied to you, doesn't like to hear that word, no. What do you mean I can't be there? What do you mean I can't do this? What do you mean I can't say that? So there's a struggle that takes place inwardly on a daily basis. And sometimes it feels like the old man wins out because it feels like, well, maybe I can do these things, even though you know you really can't. And sometimes you can see a brother or a sister that is really drawing close to the Lord, and you understand that they're at church and they're praying diligently and they're seeking the Word. They're seeking God through His Holy Word. You understand, well, the new man's winning out in that brother's life or that sister's life.
Right. Yeah.
There's a constant battle that takes place between the old man and the new man.
Right.
That spiritual nature that the Lord's given you and that fleshly nature that you're born with. And I think if you understand that, and once you realize that, things begin to come into perspective with what the Lord tells the Apostle Peter here. See, you've got a great adversary in the devil. And we said before, he hates you. He doesn't like anything about you. Brother Daniel said earlier when he was talking about the threshing floor, all right, he talked about the wheat and the chaff. When you sift wheat, the wheat is what you want. The shaft is not good for anything in the world. But you see, the devil, if he's sifting through your life like wheat, he doesn't care about the wheat. All he wants is a shaft. So we can look at that and say, you see what's bad here and what's dirty here and what doesn't look good here and what you've done here. How in the world are you ever going to be loved by God when that's all there is?
Right.
If the devil is looking to sift through your life like wheat on a daily basis, don't you know he'll use everything at his disposal to do it?
Right.
That includes the world that you live in. That includes your own nature. See, the devil's got power. He doesn't have all power. But he does have power. And he can seek to afflict you as often as he can, if he can stray you away from the church, if he can stray you away from your service to the Lord, if he can stray you away from your family, your marriage, any of these things.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know why he doesn't? Because he cannot take away the eternal salvation that you have through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, he'll do his best with everything at his disposal rob you of that joy comes from the salvation that the Lord has given unto you. But he can't take that eternal salvation away from you.
Right.
And when the Lord says this to Peter, he's talking to those 11 apostles that are there. And he's looking directly at Peter. And, you know, for better or for worse, to the apostles' detriment and sometimes to their benefit, Peter's oftentimes the mouthpiece of them. You know, a lot of times he pretty much tends to shoot his mouth off. But when Peter is asked a question, by the way, of Jesus Christ, when you do a little study in the Word of God, when Jesus Christ asks Peter a question, Peter has the right answer. It's when Peter actually starts talking on his own accord, that's when he gets into trouble. So oftentimes he's the mouthpiece for the apostles. And as the Lord is telling them that Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, he says, "But I have prayed for thee." When you read John chapter 17, I hope you understand that as an elect child of God, you are part of a world that Jesus Christ prays for.
Right. Yes, sir.
Even though you live in a world that He does not pray for.
Right.
This place is not your home.
Amen.
So you're going to be subject to whatever the afflictions that come from the devil, your great adversary. And if that means he has to sift through your life to find all the bad things and try to convict you of those things, he'll do it.
Right.
But so we have an intercessor. We're told in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have a Savior that prays for us. Do you know what a rich blessing that is?
Amen.
Do you know that to have a Redeemer, a Savior, that continues to make intercession for us, and each and every time that we have an issue where the devil brings it before us, our own nature convicts us of it. Even the world seeks to point it out of how big a failure that we are or how big of mistakes that we actually made. Jesus Christ is there by the Father saying, "My blood covered that."
Right. Yeah.
My blood covered each and every one of those sins. And even though we may be convicted of that on this earth, we're not going to be convicted of that in eternal glory.
That's right.
Jesus Christ has already paid the price for that. Amen. With His own precious blood.
Amen.
Hope the Lord bless you. If you'll bow with me, we'll ask this brother to come on. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to come before Thee. We're so thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ that have united themselves together with the express purpose to worship Thee in truth, and what we trust is in truth and spirit. We're thankful for Thee, great Lord. Thou alone art worthy to be glorified. And we're just so thankful for the privilege to be able to do it. We ask as these brothers come before us today that You might grant them the grace and the liberty that they need to deliver Thy message unto Thy people. May we as a congregation, great Lord, give us the strength to lay down any kind of burden or any kind of affliction, any kind of wayward thought, that we might focus on the message at hand. That we might do so in a pleasing way to Thee. We seek to do it as best as we possibly can on this earth, great Lord, till the day comes where we're able to do it more perfectly in Thy presence. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Brethren.